Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast, a conversation that changes the way you view all relationships, whether married, single, parent, or professional. Discover the relationship secret hidden in plain sight. And now the intersection of theology and psychology. Conversations between pastor
and psychologist.
They are father and son. Your hosts, Emerson and Jonathan Egerich.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast. I'm Jonathan Egerich, joined here by my father, Emerson Egerich, during this Thanksgiving week, where most of you will be listening to this. We're pre-recording it, but we're going to be doing an episode here on thanks. And this episode is titled, How Have You Remained Thankful During the Tough Times? How Have You Remained Thankful During the Tough Times? And this is episode 71. A quick reminder, if you didn't get a chance to check out episode 70, which was titled Why the Deception in Marriage, or any of the previous 70 episodes, you can do that at loveandrespect.com. You can access those through our blog at loveandrespect.com. You can find those on iTunes, Stitcher, and then our app as well. And I'm continue to be pleasantly surprised over 11,000 downloads of the app now. And many of you have been responding to us that it's a great way to listen to the podcast, read the blog, etc. And I know there's going to be some updates to that app coming soon, which may make it even more functional and easy to use. But Dad, as we consider Thanksgiving week this year, I know you did some recent stuff on social media around this topic, but I don't know, just kind of talk me, you know, through where you want to kind of go with this message today, because I know that we've done a number of podcasts on, you know, where there's a small theme of being grateful, right? Giving thanks. But even as you talk about this message of, some of kind of God's will for our lives, you've talked about that briefly before and how, you know, one of them is that we give thanks and be grateful. I mean, this is a powerful message at this time of the year, but I think this is just an important thing about being human and giving thanks, but also an important part of the Christian message as well, and clearly runs throughout Scripture.
Well, we're going to listen to testimonies of people who have engaged us over the months and years, and it's just refreshing to me to hear people give voice to the things about which they give thanks and are grateful in the tough times, and it's just a powerful, powerful, and inspiring thing. In fact, I'll say it now, there's one gal who read through these, and she said, I, to this point, haven't given thanks, but now basically what she was saying, reading these comments caused her to give thanks. And I think she captures, I think, what all of us, some of us can remember that first time when we learned that, you know, the Bible says in all things give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's a command that we are to be thankful. And it's kind of like we have this light bulb moment. You mean I'm actually to give thanks before something, I'm to give thanks during something, I'm to give thanks after something, even if it's not necessarily what I wanted. It's kind of like a light bulb moment. That doesn't make sense. I mean, we have the idea that I should be thankful for good things, and we ought to be. I mean, who can justify being ungrateful for blessings, ungrateful for all the good things, ungrateful for health? I mean, so we all know common sense-wise that you should give thanks for the good. But what about those things that we really don't understand, that appear to be non-good or even appear to be evil and suffering? How do we process these things? And obviously, we don't give thanks for evil, but can we give thanks that God is going to even use this? Or is he somehow rendered impotent and uncaring and he's distant from that? Or can we trust that in the tough times, in the situations that are most of us consider not the best and maybe not even good, Is it presumptuous? Is it stupid to give thanks and have a grateful heart? And what does that mean? Well, the answer is we're giving thanks that God is sovereign, that he's going to use this, that all things are working together for good. And we're not thankful for the evil. We're not thankful for the rape of a five-year-old little girl. That's asinine. That's stupid. That's unacceptable. But in the midst of these kinds of situations, will we make a decision to imitate Christ, who looked to the Father in his suffering and believe that all things are going to work together for good, and that that's our confidence, that there's no one stronger than God, there's no one greater than our loving Abba Father, and that he is in control and that he's purposing something, and we can trust him and we can give thanks to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I even think of, you know, it's even as I was, you know, in my men's group over the past, you know, 6 months, we were doing some scripture memorization and doing, you know, I think some of the more common, you know, verses throughout scripture. And, you know, I've known this one, you know, growing up, but to kind of revisit it and re-memorize it, you know, you get that, you get this phrase about anxiety, you know, do not be anxious in anything, you know, but in everything by prayer and petition. And then there's that little parenthetical with thanksgiving, you know, and then, you know, kind of goes on, right? And then, you know, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, you know, but there's that part, you need to do it with this, right? Mm-hmm. Even in the midst of this anxiety, even in the midst of these troubling, you know, things. And so we're reminded of that, you know, time and time again, and I'm excited to hear some of these testimonies as you begin to...
Well, and I would just to follow up on what you're saying, I've discovered that little phrase as well, and it dawned on me that that really is the evidence of whether or not I'm really trusting. If you know, you can't really you know, make your petitions known, and you know, apart from thanksgiving. In other words, I thought, you know what, I'm asking God to do something, but I'm really not thankful to Him. I'm not really giving thanks for it. I'm really resenting. I'm really mad. Well, you can't really petition God shaking your fist at Him. And thanksgiving is really, I think, the great evidence that we've opened up our palms. We don't have a clenched fist. Thanksgiving is really that open palm, the palm upward, that we've surrendered to this Him. Not because we are idiots, not because we're somehow dismissing the intrinsic wrong of whatever is in front of us, but that we know that just like Jesus Christ, He looked to Abba, Father, in the midst of His sufferings, that God is in control, God is always good, and that we're going to trust His love, and that no one's going to beat God on this, that ultimately there's victory. And it may mean that we go through death. I'm not minimizing the fact that we might die, but there's an eternal realm coming. And in the end, there will no longer be crying, no longer be weeping. There will be a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth. And that's not fairy tale stuff. That's based on what Christ taught, and that's what God has revealed to us. So regardless, we win. And so therefore, we can always have a thankful heart and a confidence that He's going to maybe give us a little bit of a foretaste of that right now, particularly if we're having to deal with our great aunt who irritates us, or a boss who's not giving us a raise, or, you know, I mean, a lot of the things that we're mad about just really don't measure up to any great significance, and we need to grow up.
Well, I hope that as we hear some of these, you know, testimonies in a similar way that you've kind of encouraged me over the years, and I know, you know, others, when we do, you know, pray in this way, but we recognize that the feelings aren't there of thanksgiving, right? I mean, how do we hit the pause button and ask for help around that issue of, Lord, I don't feel thankful, right? It doesn't feel emotive in that sense. Help me to get past this, right? So if we recognize that there's hardness, that there's resentment, or there's anger as we pray for God to change a situation or whatever, but we still need to give thanksgiving, and we recognize, though, that it doesn't feel like these fond feelings are there of thanks, you know, how do we work our way through that, you know, with the Lord, you know, in our words and in our attitude? Lord, you know the way that I am, right? Or the way that I feel right now. Help me to be thankful even when this isn't what I want, you know, to do. I know you've encouraged me in that way over the years.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think it's an excellent point. We're not saying that you have to feel thankful. You know, I mean, that would be putting a pressure on yourself, perhaps that's premature. I think it is an act of the will. It's a discipline. You know, it's just like love. You don't have to feel love for someone to act lovingly. You just do the action of love. You act lovingly. And that's where you begin. And so to giving thanks, you simply stop, you look, do I believe Abba Father's there? Do I believe Christ is resurrected? Do I believe the Holy Spirit indwells me? Then I'm going to say, thank you. I don't understand. I'm suspending my understanding, but I thank you that you are in charge here. I don't feel it right now, but I just want to acknowledge in obedience. You know my heart, Lord. You know there are things that I don't want to give you thanks about, but I'm going to push through this. I just want to acknowledge in this few seconds here, thank you. And then let God encourage you. I think you need to see that He's going to meet you more than halfway. Don't beat yourself up. Just keep doing this. And then once you taste of Him responding to you, think, wow, that worked.
Well, should we go jump into some of these testimonies?
Yeah, read that first one there.
During the tough times, I turn my thoughts to God and who He says I am to Him, what He says He will do in my life, how He wants to bless me and increase me, how He will never leave or forsake me, how he will be with me in the valleys as well as the mountaintops. My God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Now, I love that because that's just filled with scripture. This fellow, Nathaniel, during the tough times, and he's kind of, I made a decision. He's not going to leave me or forsake me, for instance. That's what the Bible says. And so he's giving thanks for these promises. That's what's coming through on this one.
Would you like me to read the next one?
Yeah, the misspell there.
Remembering that Christ died for me while I was still sinning. It's a great reminder when extending grace to others. Truly humbling.
And I noticed several people were focused on, you know what, the Lord Jesus died on the cross for me. He suffered for me, you know, and he's given me grace. And so she's referencing the tough times consist of probably irritating people in her life. And she is saying, you know what, I don't really have a right to be ungracious in light of all that God has done for me. Mm-hmm. And Christ on the cross is the great symbol of that.
Here's another one. I rely on God and his promises and thank him for always being there to provide peace and comfort when tough times arise. And remind myself, my husband and I are both two imperfect people, just trying to make the best out of what life has given us. Without Jesus, I'd be a complete emotional wreck during them.
Hmm. You know, one of the things I appreciate about people is, you know, I think sometimes people look at Christians and say, well, you're imperfect. And the response is, yes, but if I didn't have Jesus Christ in my life, you can't even begin to imagine how imperfect I would be. Mm-hmm. I mean, as messed up as I may be, you certainly wouldn't want to be around me without him. So yeah, I'm not what I'm going to be, and I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. I think it's an old Scottish prayer, and it's a great one. And she's captured that. And yet, I love the fact here that she also sees her husband as an imperfect person as she is. And it's kind of a beautiful thing that some of us, you know, become a little bit too self-righteous. You know, our spouse may be sinning in areas that we wouldn't sin, and we have a tendency to pick up stones, you know, like the Pharisees did toward the adulterous woman. And Jesus said, he who's without sin, pick up the first stone. And there's a moment in all of our lives where we're not justifying the adultery, but we're saying, you know what, we really don't have a whole lot of room here to throw stones. And maybe the better posture is, you know, we're two imperfect people, and we're going through some tough times, but there's no point in verbally slapping the other person.
Mm-hmm. Having a helicopter view mindset helps a lot, knowing that God will not allow us to go through something we cannot handle, knowing that he is with us through the different seasons of our marriage, that when we go through water and fire, we will not drown and we will not be burnt, knowing that we go through seasons for a reason. It is for our benefit, for our character is being built through tough times, and we will be complete, lacking nothing.
See, and again, these are people giving expression to scriptures. I love the fact that so many people are listening to the Word of God preached in church every week, and they're appropriating that. And I even like that little thing, knowing that we are going through seasons for a reason. Mm-hmm. That'll preach. Now, that's not a verse in scripture, but you know what, you who are listening, you know, is there a reason for this season? And you need to trust that God is responding to perhaps the prayers you've been praying, but he just isn't maybe operating in the way that you'd hoped, but he's operating in the way that he knows is best.
Mm-hmm. Another person says, by trying to keep my focus on the Lord and counting my blessings, not my problems, every day is a new day, a new beginning, and the Lord is faithful.
Yeah, I love it. You know, I mean, what a great example there. Are we going to focus on the problem, or are we going to focus on the blessings? And, you know, I think I've given that illustration before of the woman who's just optimistic, always focused on the blessings, always focused on the good things. And she was, a person said, you know, you're so positive about everything, you'd find something to compliment the devil about. And she said, absolutely, he's persistent. Oh, I love it.
Here's another one. I give my hurt and disappointment that sometimes happens to God. I review what I've learned in love and respect, and even when I'm unhappy with something that my husband did, I remind myself he's a good man, he loves me, and the thing is minor. I will choose to love my husband in every situation, even when he's late and I'm frustrated. LOL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, it's these little things. I mean, you know, I think all of us would be spiritual. The truth is, some of us would be deeply spiritual if we were put in a life and death situation. And there's a great maturity in us. But we let down our guard on the little things. And here she is saying, you know what, I've got to, you know, kind of get perspective on it. I remember hearing years ago, somebody says, you know, don't sweat the small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, everything is small stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find that interesting because I think oftentimes we hear the phrase, you know, how you are with the small things is how you are going to be with the big things. But there is a flip side to that, that some of us maybe truly aren't really challenged in our lives and we let these little irritations get to us. But if personal suffering was going to come to us, right, if persecution was going to come to us, you know, there is a part of our spirit and our walk with the Lord that would be found to be true when tested. I think that's what I'm hearing you say.
Well, and as a point I say to people, encourage them, because I've seen it. I've seen people who, you know, got irritated at little things and just, you know, they had a disposition that they needed to really deal with. But then they went through cancer and they were like saints. And I've learned over the years that some of you who are listening, you do have a deep faith. But if you're like me, you just don't think about it. You know, you don't think about something, you know, you just let the old habits of the family of origin. But there is another, you know, that's where the flesh and the spirit, and your spirit is pretty mature. But, you know, you can kind of set your mind on the things of the flesh, not on the things of the spirit, and you let down your guard. And now you've got this attitude. You're the grumpy old man. You're the complaining woman. And you know what? Sometimes we just need to say, knock it off. You're not acting in terms of who you really are. You're acting outside of this mature person that you really are. You don't need to do it. And I need to remind you of that just as you need to remind me when I'm about to yell at Sarah, having just written the book Love and Respect and How to Be a Loving Man Toward Your Wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's some examples that you've titled, unless you had some other ones before I transitioned to these that you wanted to go over.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that a person said that I appreciate, and we want to kind of segue, he said during the tough times, he remembers, and she remembers, what you taught us in love and respect. And I was thinking about that, and we get a lot of emails from people who are very thankful for the impact of this message. And there are different ways that they express that. And I want to talk about, you know, because there are people who, you know, have really paid attention to Ephesians 5:33, that husbands are to love, wives are to respect. And the impact this had when they applied it to their marriage. And then they write me and they tell me how thankful they are. And we want to make some comments about this.
Well, this first one you titled, For God's Working. A husband writes, I came to the conclusion that you have come to after suffering through multiple adulterous, emotional and physical relationships she has had. I have loved her unconditionally out of thanks and gratitude for what he has done for me. I am not legalistic. I am thankful for everything he has done for me. He is directing my steps, which is why I am able to love her unconditionally. He is why I have forgiven her, even though she has not asked for me to forgive her. I have put her indiscretion on God's hook to address, as he is the one who will judge her on Judgment Day. I have been able to see that God allowed everything to occur so that I can depend on him more completely.
Wow. Wow. I mean, these are the types of people that write me, and I'm thinking, this is unbelievable. I mean, so here in this trial, this tough time, he is saying, you know what? This is really about God teaching me things. She's committed adultery. This is a devastating betrayal, and she's not responding. But notice the spirit of thanksgiving in this. Is this guy crazy? No, this is God's remedy to not becoming a bitter individual. And he's not living in a mythical fairy tale world. This isn't psychosomatic. This is deeply Christ-like. Unless we're going to say Jesus Christ is crazy, Jesus Christ got on his knees, he gave thanks, he prayed, he looked to the Father, he sought the wisdom of the Father. He was mistreated incessantly. And he was misunderstood incessantly. And yet we know that he continued to turn his heart in this very way toward the Father. And I just take my hat off to this gentleman.
For new love, a spouse writes, my conclusion is that I take what I have learned from you and wholeheartedly and with absolute resolve and understanding, apply it. My prayer is that we will be able to effectively model Christian love and respect. I am thankful for the new love God has provided in my life. Your book has encouraged me to acknowledge my past mistakes, ask for forgiveness, learn from them, and move on.
This is, again, such maturity. I'm thankful, she said, for the new love God has provided in my life. I mean, there is a renewal. There's a refreshment. And when you have these kinds of attitudes, I'm going to acknowledge my own mistakes. I'm not going to be forever trying to get my spouse to acknowledge theirs. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. And I'm not going to be forever trying to get them to ask me for my forgiveness. I'm going to learn from them, not just try to teach them. And I'm going to move forward. And I'm moving on. I'm going to continue to take the next step. Not out of arrogance, but I'm not going to continue to, you know, shake a finger in the face of my spouse over these past things. I mean, this is just incredible maturity. But notice that undercurrent of thankfulness.
Mm-hmm. For answers, another spouse writes, I have been angry, frustrated, confused, depressed, and even considered an affair over a year ago. I am grateful that the Lord kept me from destroying our marriage. Through these difficult emotions, I have also been in prayer and Bible studies. I am thankful for finally receiving answers, and am thankful that more answers will be coming. I have learned how to find my significance in Christ.
Wow. Wow. I mean, thankful for the receiving answers. And what's interesting here is that she came very close, you know, came to the edge. And some of you might be on the edge. You're thinking, you know, I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm not happy. I just want to be happy. Yeah, you can get involved with somebody and be happy short term, but you're going to hit a wall. It's not going to be what you think it's going to be. And here again, the challenge is to turn your heart back toward Christ, get back into prayer groups, Bible studies, turn toward fellow believers. And then she said, I'm thankful for finally receiving answers. You know, draw near to God, the Bible says, James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Don't you say, God, you draw near to me first and then I'll draw near to you. He's God, you're not. And when you get humble before him, he loves you. It's not this cosmic killjoy, but he loves you, but you've got to come to him on his terms. But realize, some of you are really close on the edge. She was angry, frustrated, confused, depressed, and even considered an affair. Why? That's the remedy to overcome those negative emotions. And we all can look at her and say, that would be foolish, and we rejoice with her in what she discovered and say, amen, she found what she should have. But now the question I ask of you, are you on edge? Are you about to do something that you know deep in your soul isn't going to bring any satisfaction other than temporarily? You know what? You need to revisit the things you know, turn your heart toward God again, draw near to him, and let's see if some answers aren't forthcoming far quicker than you could imagine.
Here's two examples of personal change. One spouse writes, I just want you to know how thankful I am and how excited I am to see how God will work in my marriage through my desire for change and humility. I have been a very prideful person in the past. I am thankful that this is changing. Even if my spouse doesn't respond, I am thankful for what is happening in my life. And the second person writes, a wife, I know now that my attitude towards him must be as unto the Lord. I couldn't have done this a year ago. My heart was too hurt and too hard. I am thankful for all the ways respect has been changing me for the better.
Yeah, I mean, this is good stuff. I mean, this first person, and the thought was coming to me, some of you need to stop and just give thanks for all the change. If you're like some of us, you're forever looking at where you're failing. You know, you get 5 A's and 1 D and you fixate on the D. We've talked about that personality type. And but we need to be reminded, even the 10 lepers that were healed and then Jesus told them to go tell the priest, go to the temple, only one returned and gave thanks. You know, and that became a great illustration that we need to pause and give thanks for what just happened rather than move on for what's about to happen or what still isn't happening. And some of you needed to say, wait a minute, you know what? The last 5 years, there have been significant changes for the good in my life. And you know what? I haven't even stopped and said, Father, thank you for this. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And this person said, I have been a very prideful person in the past. And I'm thankful that this is changing. And so look at those past changes, give thanks for that. Mm-hmm. And then those of you who've been experienced the power of love and respect, and you're seeing the effects, have you just said, Lord, thank you for this revelation, that it really is working. Respect toward my husband is really working. It's not a perfect formula. He's not a robot that if I push this respect button, he's going to perform. That's not the point. But I'm seeing that it's affecting his heart. But beyond that, I'm doing it unto you. And this is about my relationship with you. And just give thanks mm-hmm. for all the good things that have been happening, even though you have things yet you want to see changed.
For hope and encouragement, one spouse writes, you have given me the hope and encouragement I really needed to keep going with this, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, it's just a simple little message. And that's the whole point of these podcasts, our books that we write. We want you to have hope and encouragement. And so many of you have written us on this podcast, for instance, and you're so delighted with this. And we appreciate that. I mean, you give thanks. And those of you who haven't given thanks, you know, we're not looking for that, but maybe you need to say, you know what, I am grateful, and I need to let Emerson and Jonathan know about that, because they too have moments of discouragement, and I just want you all to know, hey, this is getting through. Sometimes I think, oh, you know, my little note isn't going to make that much of an impact. But, you know, don't be presumptuous. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, we don't respond to them all. We certainly read them all. And I've been very appreciative of those of you that have done that. And so, but again, this isn't necessarily about...
Well, no, I mean, I think they need to do that, not for our sake, but for their own sake. But also, we're thankful in response to this. We need to say to you, thank you, as I just did. So, mm-hmm. You know, let's pat each other on the back and we can all feel good about ourselves.
A Marine writes, says, thanks for, he was going through the study and watching the video. He says, I am presently going through the Love and Respect class, and it is amazing how often I have it wrong with my own wife. I have led Marines, served as a manager in many capacities, excuse me, and yet I have missed the boat on so many other areas with my wife. I am thankful for this video.
I mean, there's a great illustration of instead of hardening his heart and saying, you know, this is not true and blaming his wife and justifying himself, here's a man's man saying, you know what, that really spoke to me and I realized I had it wrong, but I'm grateful for the light. I was walking in the darkness. I wasn't doing it intentionally, but now this light is coming. I've been illumined and I am grateful for this. I had it wrong. I mean, wow, that's the kind of man I want to go into battle with, because he's just the real deal.
A couple people here saying thank you for the book and how it impacted them. A wife writes, I am so excited to put my knowledge to use. I know things won't be perfect, but now I know how to handle things differently, how to treat him and respect him, and I'm not even finished with the book. God has a miraculous way of doing things in people's lives, and I have been learning lately to just put all my faith in God and let God be in control. Your book ended up in my hands because it was God's will, and I am thankful for that.
Yeah, that's very humbling to me. Very humbling to me to hear this. And again, you know, this was, it's basically the message of Love and Respect on paper, what God has spoken in Ephesians 5:33. You know, people said, Emerson, how'd you come up with the idea? I said, I didn't come up with the idea. It was in the Bible, in Ephesians 5:33. It was there before I was born. It'll be there after I'm dead. I'm irrelevant. But this message, you know, on paper in that Love and Respect book is what she's referring to. And the Lord took his word. And this lady is just joyful over the impact of this.
And a pastor writes, I am a pastor and have walked folks through Love and Respect with amazing results. The book has so many simple, transferable, powerful, and biblical truths. I am thankful for the book.
Yeah, that would be a great marketing tool. Simple, transferable, powerful, and biblical truths. So I say to that pastor, thank you for saying it that way.
And here's a final one for the softening of the heart. As we began to listen to you, we realized that intellectually it all makes sense, and how you were explaining the way God has made man and woman so different became so clear. We both commented at one point to each other, why have we never heard this explained in this way? Soon my heart began to soften towards my husband, to which I am thankful for. Mm-hmm. During the past several weeks, I have watched the both of us notice and begin to turn around danger zones in our communication. Has there been any big change in the circumstances surrounding our challenges that used to spark arguments? No. The miraculous has happened, and God has exposed not only the disrespect and unloving attitudes, but the respect and love that we do have for each other. The most profound analogy I remember from the conference was your illustration of Jesus standing behind the person you are beginning to react unloving or disrespectful towards. I have used that visual image ever since.
Hmm. Well, what we could do, unless you have some final comments, any questions that you might have of me, I want to close in prayer and just give the person listening an opportunity to give thanks. And just enter into this personal discipline, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything, give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. And what's interesting, we may not know what God's will for us is, but we can immediately do his will by giving thanks. I mean, we can touch the heart of God. And as I say, if we do the universal will, he will then unfold his unique will to us. And some of us kind of reverse that. We want to know God's unique will for us, and then we'll kind of obey his universal will. We kind of get this thing, you know, turned around. You know, maybe we should wear a t-shirt that says, he's God, I am not. But here again, you see, this is a powerful illustration, Jonathan. Nothing really changed in terms of their marriage, but it was their different reframing, their new decoding, and just the realization that some of us, you know, really are losing it in the face of situations that when you stop to think about it, it's really not that bad. It's just a male and female reaction. Neither one of us are wrong. We're just different. But we resent the other person. But once we begin to see that God made us pink and blue, and actually we can begin to grin, you know, seeing the way she responds, seeing the way he responds. It's in keeping with God's design, and you can actually chuckle about it. And the things that, you know, we wanted to chuck something at them, now we can chuckle at them. Just made that up. It's not necessarily good, but it came to me spontaneously. But I just want to remind you that, you know, some of you just need to be a little bit more thankful during this Thanksgiving season. I mean, we've given you a list of testimonies. Surely there's something here that spoke to your heart, whether it's what Christ did for you on the cross, whether it's the thankfulness for this Ephesians 5:33, the tough times you're going through, getting that perspective. I mean, I hope you had some nugget that you can take and say, you know what, I'm not going to be just a hearer of the word. I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm not going to look at myself in a mirror and then walk away and forget what I look like. According to the Apostle James, we can do that. So we want to close in prayer. And do you have any final word?
No, I think it's appropriate to close in prayer. And as you hope, I hope that it was meaningful to people, and that that many people are, you know, after this, after you finish praying, are stopping and giving thanks, mm-hmm. Maybe in ways that they've already been doing, and maybe some people for the first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Lord, you know, all of us are remiss at giving thanks. We're like the 9 lepers that never returned to say thank you to Jesus Christ for having just healed them. I mean, we read that story and we're just stunned. How in the world could those individuals who suffered so greatly for so long now have clean, new skin, and only one return, and look at Jesus Christ, fall at his feet, and say thank you? And then we realize we are the 9. We are far more like that than the other. We don't like to think that about ourselves, but we want to push through today and say, Lord, in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of the tough times, we want to just pause and say thank you. Thank you not only for the blessings that we have, that we overlook being grateful for, but Lord, we're now going to give thanks to you for this tough moment, tough season, tough time that we're in, maybe the tough marriage. We thank you for the difficulties, that it is going to change us into Christ-likeness, even if our spouse doesn't become Christ-like. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity. This is an opportunity. This is maybe a disguised opportunity, but it is nonetheless an opportunity to really deepen. We can't control the outcome in our spouse, but we can control our action and reaction to our spouse. And we give you thanks that we can make a statement to you that we're maturing, that we can touch your heart beyond the shoulder of our spouse. We thank you for that. We thank you for the situation that we don't have answers to. We feel like our back is up against a wall, but we thank you that you have the answers. We thank you that you can give us wisdom from above. We thank you that you can orchestrate the circumstances. We thank you that you can bring someone into our life to help us. We thank you that you can give us peace in the midst of the waiting. Lord, there are so many things that we give you thanks for. And now in this moment of quietness, hear this person in this just a 15-second moment of silence give you thanks for something specific, good or, quote, quote, less than good. Lord, hear their prayer of thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, the one who taught us to give thanks. Amen.
We'll see you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to the Love and Respect Podcast. For more information and additional products, go to loveandrespect.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Join Emerson and Jonathan next week for another episode.